There we go. Okay, all right, so Ephesians 5:18. Okay, so from the first two lessons, we know that we've been, in a sense, like a garden. We've been tilling our soil, we've been throwing out the weeds and getting all the rocks out and preparing our ground to get ready for the fruit of the Spirit. We already have that. We got that at salvation, the fruit of the Spirit. It's there in us. But it's the application, the letting the Holy Spirit use them in our lives and to for us to use them in the way that they're supposed to be. So that's why we've been going over the things that we're not supposed to be doing, so that we're prepared to be able to learn about the things that we are supposed to be doing. So in this lesson, we're going to learn more about that abundant Spirit-filled life that God has for us. In verse 16 of chapter 5, it says, in Galatians. Let's go over there real quick, to Galatians 5, which is just a few pages back. We're kind of back and forth between these two chapters. So Paul is telling us that walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So
first set,
Galatians 5:16. Just back a few pages to Galatians 5.
Okay.
Okay, so this verse tells us that this I say then, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Okay, so like we learned in our little experiment that I did last week about the dirt in the cup, we're always going to have sin in our life, but the more I poured that water in and the more it flushed out all that dirt, the water was clear again. So that, keep that picture in your head, that the more of the Holy Spirit I put into my life, or he's already here, we can't put more in, but the more I allow him to work in my life and flush out the things that are not right, whether it's the way I think, the way I speak, the way I act, the way I interact with people, the things I watch, the things I read, the things I talk about, even the things I think in conversations with people. People can voice their opinions, and you don't necessarily agree with that opinion, but then you don't say anything. You don't say the biblical aspect of it. If people are talking about gay marriage and they say something to you, don't just say, you know, don't. It's almost like sometimes we feel like we don't want to get involved in that conversation because it's like we don't agree with that, but I don't want to voice my opinions either because it's going to lead to some kind of a confrontation or something. But we need to at least say our opinion, that this is my opinion, and according to the Bible, which I believe, that is wrong. You don't have to say any much more than that. Unless somebody asks, then you can, you know, go into this a little more. But it's more the fact that if we don't say something, we're in a sense condoning what they're talking about. You know, we're just going along. I mean, especially if people are talking about going out drinking, they're going out this, they're, you know, or they're asking your opinion about a show or whatever it is. You get in these conversations at work or with people, and they want to know because of your testimony. They either are going to bait you to see what you think about it, or they truly want to know what you think about a situation. We have to be careful that we don't let it be our opinion, but what the Word of God says. And if at that moment you can't think of something, say, I know that there's a biblical application, and that's what I like to base my life on. And let me look into that, and I'll get you an answer back. My husband does that a lot. Sometimes he'll have an answer, but he'll say, I'll get back to you on, you know, a little more detail. Then he'll come home, he'll study out the verse, and then he writes something, little something up, and he gives it to people. Where then, at least, it's not his opinion. He hasn't said, he hasn't based anything on his, you know, moral compass or whatever. He's based it on the Word of God. He's given it to them, and now it's up to them to do with it what they are going to do with it. So that's, in a sense, being filled with the Holy Spirit, letting the Holy Spirit give you the words that He wants you to say at the time. You'll know when it's the Holy Spirit leading, and He'll give you verses. It's amazing how sometimes it just starts coming out. You don't have a clue what you're talking about, in a sense. But yay, Miss Dorothy! Hi, Miss Dorothy. That's all right. There's a chair right here by Diana, or there's a padded one on the other side of her over there. Whoops. I'm just like, there's heavenly music coming.
I just thought about it. It's a good time I turn it off.
Okay, so, like we learned from the beginning, it's a daily process. This is something that we have to do on a continual basis. We cannot let the Holy Spirit work in our lives if we're never in our Word, we never are praying, we're never doing, thinking even about God or anything else. The Holy Spirit is a gentleman, just like the Lord is. He's not going to come in to hearts that aren't invited. The Lord doesn't say, okay, I'm going to come into your life right now, whether you want me to or not. The Lord's not like that. He's a gentleman. He waits to be invited. And that's what we have to do. We have to invite the Lord into our lives. And then the Holy Spirit comes in, and we have that comforter and our guide. But we have to, just like I was saying in the devotion yesterday, we're the ones that walk away from the fellowship with God. He's always there. The Bible tells us, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He's always there with us. It's just, how close am I to the Lord? How much of the Lord and the Holy Spirit do they have of me? I have all the Holy Spirit I'm ever going to have. But how much of me does the Holy Spirit have? Am I keeping things from Him? Am I holding parts of my heart back and I'm not fully giving them to the Lord? That's something that you can't say for someone else. You have to look inward to your heart and say, okay, Lord, I'll give you control of all of this over here. But this little part, this little sin, this little area of my heart, I still feel like I have to control this, or I want control of this still. Just like you were saying about Carmen's lesson. I didn't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. The whole time the Holy Spirit's going, yes, you do. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. And, you know, you do. You know. And
you know, you can't let the Holy Spirit take control and hang on to your head, too.
Exactly.
And I wasn't ready.
To let go of that mad. Exactly. I know. And sometimes that's very difficult, especially when dealing with people.
Carmen said that about letting off the sun go down on your finger, and I kept thinking, I've got at least 8 more hours.
Good, I can hold on to this for just a little bit longer.
And I thought, that's not what you mean, Lord. But.
No, not so much. Okay, so the first question. Who can be filled with the Holy Spirit? Right, John 14, 16. Can't say that this morning. It's like John 14, 16. Where's 14? Here it is. We're in chapter 3 at the very bottom, question number 1. Okay, so the Bible says, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. So right here, the question is, today the Holy Spirit dwells in me. He dwells in me. I have accepted Jesus as my Savior, and according to the Bible, the world doesn't know the Holy Spirit, cannot understand the Holy Spirit, does not know the Holy Spirit, but he's in me. Jesus was talking to the believers. He was getting ready to leave them. He's saying, I'm going to send somebody back. Somebody's coming back to help you, to guide you through this process in your walk with the Lord. And so Holy Spirit was coming to them. Now, when does the Holy Spirit take up residence in the believer's life? Well, we can go back to Ephesians chapter 1. Yeah. Oh, it's in here somewhere. There it is. Ephesians 1, 13 and 14. The Bible says, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance till the redemption of the purchased possession and unto the praise of his glory. So, and 2 Corinthians 5:17, I'll just read that one real quick. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Behold, all old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. So, at salvation is when the Holy Spirit takes up residence in our hearts. Now, at that time, we don't truly understand what all the Holy Spirit can do for us when we're newly saved. We're just so excited about that feeling that you have of completeness. And I remember somebody saying just after I was saved that everybody's heart has a cutout in it, and it's in the shape of Jesus. And until that peace gets filled with the Lord, you're never truly complete, because God walked with man at one time, and then man sinned and walked away from the Lord. And ever since then, man has been trying to get themselves back into fellowship with God. And that's in our nature. We have a sinful nature, but we have a spiritual side that's striving to find connection with God. Some people deny that and push it further and further aside to where God can't speak to them, can't reach them, and they don't want anything to do with that. Or they even to the point where they acknowledge that there is no God. We were out passing out tracts on Saturday, or not yesterday, but the week before for Easter, and I went to give a tract to a lady, and she said, no, thank you, I'm an atheist. And I'm thinking, really? You have to believe in, you can't believe in nothing. But that's what they want to claim, that they believe in nothing. But a true atheist believes in themselves. So they're believing in something. You're not just not believing in God, but that's a whole nother sermon, so we're not going to go there. Okay, for whom is the filling of the Spirit reserved? So in John 3, we know that he was talking to Nicodemus. He said that it's for those that are saved. Even from the other verses that we're saying, that's the filling of the Spirit is for those that have opened their hearts to the Lord. And that's when, now, we always hear these words, Spirit-filled and Spirit-controlled. Do we know the difference? Is there a difference? Okay, so does it mean that I get more and more of the Holy Spirit, like a filling a cup with the water all flows out? No. The Holy Spirit doesn't come in pieces. He doesn't come, oh, I'm going to get the Holy Spirit's arm today and the head and the body. And, you know, it's not piecemeal. We're not getting, we got it. He is a person. That's what people, I think, a lot of in other religions and other, they think of the Holy Spirit as a, not as an entity. The Holy Spirit is a person. It's a part of the Godhead, just like God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit. They're three in one. They are three entities of the same person. And so the Holy Spirit's a person, and so we can't have part of a person. We have all of him at the time of salvation. The filling and the controlling, how much, like I said before, how much of the Holy Spirit does he have of you? That's in our control when we yield to the Holy Spirit's guidance. That one is on our end. That one's up to us. So what command is given to believers in 5:18 that we just learned our memory verse? We're to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Okay? So the Holy Spirit resides in each of our lives. However, I like this little quote she says, he doesn't want to be just a resident. He wants to be the president. Okay? He doesn't want to just reside in your life. He wants to control your life. And if you are the one that, and we're the ones that we quench the Holy Spirit, people say that. We don't follow the Holy Spirit's leading. You hear that little voice in your head going, say something. Speak to that person. Give them a track. Do this. Go there. Call this person. Oh, Lord, I'm busy right now. I'll call them later. You don't remember later. So you don't call them. Pray. Somebody comes on your mind. Even if it's the shortest prayer in record. Lord, I don't know what they need today, but please be with them. They're on your heart for a reason. And God put them there. And the Holy Spirit is nudging you. Pray for them. Make a call. Send a text. Do something to acknowledge the fact that you hear the Holy Spirit talking to you. And that's being filled with the Spirit. That's letting the Holy Spirit control your life when you respond to these things. So then we have a little diagram here. Ephesians 5:18 goes on and says, you know, we're supposed to speak to ourselves in psalms and hymns and songs. And I used to do that all the time. I always had some kind of verse or a song in my head from, like, you know, the Sunday before. I would sing a song in my head when I first got up in the morning. There's days when I don't do that. I have a hard time even. Okay, I know so many songs. Lord, why can't I think of one right now? Because my mind is like crowded with all these other things, and I'm not keeping my focus and my mind and my heart focused on the Lord's things. That's why it's very important before you start your day, even if you can read, if you can't even read a whole chapter, but you can read 3 or 4 verses, just something to get your focus on the Lord and try to keep it there. The world crowds us in enough that if we have something just to cling to, sometimes I'll put a verse in my note part of my Bible, or not in my phone, in the note section. Well, I can have that open on my phone on my desk, and it's just a verse, and it's like every so often I just look at it and I'll open my phone and there's this little thing and it says, you know, the joy of the Lord is my strength. It's like, oh, yes, I remember. It's like, yes, yes, Lord. And I don't have to do anything else with it, but I just have to read it and get it back into my brain again. Sometimes I'll take a 3x5 card and I'll write a verse out and I'll stick it on the bottom of my computer down here. And I can just read that throughout the day, our memory verses I put on, you know, there, and I just go over them and read them, and it's just, it's a, over there. So here we have a little diagram. It says a person that is drunk with wine says they walk differently, they talk differently, they act. Kathy, we're on page 30 in our book.
30 in your book?
Yes. So they walk differently, they talk differently when they're drunk with wine or drunk with anything. They think, they act and think differently. They don't do things the way they would if they weren't drinking. But then the person that is filled with the Holy Spirit should do the same thing. We should walk differently. We should talk differently. We should act differently and think differently and feel differently than the way we did before. It should be an automatic thing. All of our thoughts, and it all depends on if you were saved young or older in your life. Sometimes we got more stuff that we have to get out of our brains, and the way we thought about a situation or, you know, whatever it is that we're thinking about, we have to kind of, but the more I put in good, remember, the more the bad gets pushed out. So that if I'm reading and listening to things that are edifying to the Lord, then that's going to push out songs that I hear that from my past, or when you go to the grocery store and they're playing, you know, music from when you were a teenager, and that's all you think of, and it's like, no, 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 no. Don't go there. It's like, you know, sing Amazing Grace in your head. Do something. Just don't pay attention to the music, you know. And if you do have to be around, you know, sometimes we can't control what music is being played where we are. So, but there's a way to get it out once it's gone in, is that in my car, in my home, I'm going to play music that edifies the Lord. So the more I do that, the more it pushes out that other stuff that I heard there that's still in there. It's like, it's amazing. You can't remember the songs, the hymns, but a song that I knew when I was in high school 40 years ago, I know every word when that song comes on. It's like, why, Lord? Why? I don't want to know I don't want to remember the words of this song, you know? But yes. So how can we be controlled by the Holy Spirit? So it gives us a little guide. Four things we need to do each day. We have to keep a Christ-centered life, meaning we have to keep our focus on the Lord. We have to stay in God's Word. We have to be yielded and submissive. So when the Holy Spirit says, I want you to do this, or I want you to go there, we're listening, and we take action on what the Holy Spirit has given us to do. And we're saying no to sin and yes to righteousness. So we all know what is right to do, but sometimes our flesh says, but I don't want to do that today, or maybe later, or that's you being in control. Remember, we're not supposed to be in control. We're supposed to let the Holy Spirit lead us and be in control. So now let's go to this. Let's question five. Let's go down to Philippians. Philippians chapter 3. It's like I just lost where Philippians is. There it is. Right after Ephesians, the book right after Ephesians, which we should be been at the end of that anyway. So, yeah, chapter 3, verse 10. It says, describe a Christ-centered life. Okay, so 10 says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended for Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Paul was forever saying how hard it was for him to do the things that he was supposed to do. He was the most spiritual man I read about in the Bible, especially in the New Testament. But for he was forever saying that I'm the chiefest of sinners. I can't do the things that I'm supposed to be doing. And, you know, he sounded just like us. But then he turned around and he did all these wonderful, miraculous things. But it was a decision that Paul, he goes, I'm apprehending. I'm going for, I'm attain. It's like running a race. It's like I get to a certain point and it's hard and you want to stop and you don't want to run anymore. But the finish line is still there and I can see it. Okay, I quit. I can't go any further. When it's right there and I can see the goal and it's almost within reach, but you give up at the last minute. That's not attaining. That's not apprehending that goal. And so Paul always, a lot of times he referred to a race, that this Christian life is like a race that we're running. We're trying to get to the finish line, which is going to be heaven, and our rewards that are in heaven, and that's what we're pressing to. That's what we're striving for. That's what we're trying to get to. And in the meantime, we've got hurdles we have to jump over. We've got big holes we have to go around. We've got, it's almost like a minefield. We have to dodge all these things that Satan is throwing in our path. Remember that, ladies. The things, the obstacles that are in your life are not from God. He's allowing them in your life to teach you a lesson or teach you a principle. Now, it's like you've got a path and you've got a path and you've got a rock. Okay, do I see this rock as an obstacle that I cannot go around? Okay, oh, there's a blockage in my path, so I'm going to go back the other direction. No. Okay, Lord, there's an obstacle in my path. Help me to either climb over this obstacle, go around this obstacle, push it out of the whatever it is I have to do, but with your help, Lord, I can get the obstacle out of my path so I can continue on for you. Then when you're on the other side, you can see the principle, you can see the lesson that you learned or that you can share with someone else. Because of this little obstacle, or they're little stepping stones. They're, you know, they're little rocks. Okay, so God doesn't want me to walk on the path. He wants me to walk on these little stepping stones that he has laid in, you know, that are out there for me. Okay, so then I'm above my problem. I'm not walking in the mire. I'm up here on the top, walking on the stepping stones till I get to the clean part of the path again. So don't think of things in our path as God's punishing me, God's, you know, not on my side, because the word goes against all of that. That's just a lie from the devil. God is not against you. God is for you. He wants you to be successful. He wants you to achieve as much as you can for him. That's why he left us here. If he didn't want us to be successful in our Christian walk, he would have taken us home at the moment we got saved. So we didn't have to deal with all of this mess. But we have to stay close to the Lord. And so, but it's going to be a battle. We've learned that from the get-go. It, you know, nothing I can say or anybody else can say is going to make it any different. This Christian life is not a bed of roses, it's a minefield. And Satan, the closer it's getting to the time that the Lord's coming back, the harder he's going to be throwing ammunition at us, and the fiery darts are coming. And, you know, and it's even more so that we need to stay close to the Lord. Be in church. Come and listen to pastor's messages. They're different every time we have a service. You be in your word, you know, call people. If you're reading something and you don't understand something, call somebody. Say, I'm confused about this passage. You know, you can send me a text and I'll get to it after work. But, you know, call Sharon. Call somebody if you're, you know, I'm in this minefield, I think, or I'm in on this path that I don't like where I'm at. And but don't try to, you and the Lord are a majority, but you and the Lord and the rest of us are a bigger majority, and we can help. But we have to know what's going on with, you know, yes, it's a good idea for us all to pray for each other. But sometimes if I have something specific to pray for, that makes the prayer so much easier. It's like it's like a generic prayer. Okay, Lord, I'm praying for Sharon today. I don't know what's wrong, but you know, and that works, but Sharon's going through a struggle. I know she is. I can feel it. And you can put words to the situation. You can pour your heart out for something. Gloria's going through something that's really making her not walk close with you, or it's something that it's affecting her Bible reading, or you know, whatever it is. I mean, I know Miss Carlene is not feeling well, but Lord, give her the strength to get up this morning and read her Bible and you know, and not feel like she's doing this by herself. Just kind of, the more we get to know each other, the more we can sense when somebody's not feeling themselves or something's troubling them. We can usually pick up on that. And that's, I think if we get nothing else out of this lessons, but that we're all on the same path, we're all walking our own path that the Lord's given us, but we're all fighting the same enemy. We all have the same Holy Spirit and the same Lord, and we all have the same guidance, and we all have His Word, but the enemy is fighting each of us differently because he knows your weak point, and he's going to attack there. And your weak point and my weak point are different. We all have a different thing that holds us back or helps us to stumble more. And, you know, we all have our own set, you know, unique circumstances that, you know, keep us bogged down. So to be transformed, I have to know as much about this person that I'm trying to let transform me as possible. So if I want to be in the image of Christ, I in turn then have to know what that image is all about, right? I can't exemplify that or imitate that if I don't know how or what the character is all about. So then, where am I going to learn that? Right here in God's Word and from coming to church and the messages pastor gives. And he'll go to, you know, I like it when he goes to like obscure books of the Bible and he preaches out of them, because we tend to read them, but we like speed read right through them, you know, and we don't really delve into them. And then all of a sudden somebody brings this nugget out of Habakkuk or some place, you know, and it's like, I read that, but where in the world did they find that in there? But the more you can glean out of God's Word, you get to see who God is and who Jesus is, and you see there, and it's like, ooh, I want to do more, I want to be more like that, or, you know, I want to be more outgoing and friendly and loving and gentle and all these things that we're going to learn about the fruit of the Spirit. I want to put that out in my life more. You know, I have it. I have the ability to do it, but I haven't been using that one. I've been using the other ones. wave to Rodney. Yes. That's our 5-minute warning. We have to wrap it up. It's not a wave offering from Rodney. Okay, so let's look at, I want to stop there. We can put our chairs and stuff away. Anybody have any questions? Any comments? Criticism? Anything? Y'all awake? Okay.
I was late, but the lesson was good.
Oh, good. Thank you, Miss Dorothy. I'm so glad you're here. Yay! All right, Miss Dorothy, our memory verse for this chapter is the one at the front, Ephesians 5:18. Just so you know. It's at the Ephesians 5:18 is our memory verse.
Anything you want us to read for next
week? Oh, okay. So let's look at let's see. Yeah, we're at question 6. So there's James and Romans verses in here. The James 1, 22 through 25, and then Romans 12, 1. It's asking us to put down a description of a yielded spirit in question 7. That one would be good to kind of look at and see what you think that is. I would say don't go much past like question 9. And then I got another visual aid I'm bringing in next week. It's my favorite one. So, all right.
What's our next?
Okay, so we're at chapter 3, but we're in question 6, which is on page 31.
31?
Mm-hmm. They're at the top of the page, Kathy, 31.
Yeah.
So chapter 6, question 6 there. You see 6? And in there, in that question, it said, question 6. You see a 6?
Yeah.
That's a question 6. And then it says James 1, 22 through 25.
Yeah.
I want you to read that. And then in question 7, it says Romans 12, 1. I want you to read over those this week.
Okay.
All right?
What's our next scripture for the next?
No, we're still on the same one, and you said it, so that's good. But you can say it, you can keep reading it.
Oh,
the Ephesians 5:18. We keep it for a whole chapter, and we're not done with chapter 3 yet. Okay, so we don't have a new one yet. Not every week are we going to have a new one.
Okay.